I mean, let's just stay in this place of just worship and to be in awe of him. Hallelujah. The Lord was just now opening up our hearts and opening up our hands, because we need God to need God. I can't even repent from a sin unless God, out of his kindness and his heart towards me, comes to show me, Mariette, here you are in sin, and I've paid for your redemption. So God has paid for your freedom and your healing. God has prayed for, God has paid for, and Jesus is praying for us, since he is our highest intercessor. So tonight, this afternoon, right now, some of us, all of us, in different areas, it is like, I see this image, the Lord reminds me of this image, a friend of mine's an illustrator, and she loves Jesus, and she illustrated a girl that's sitting in the basket of a large air balloon. And she's in the basket, and this air balloon, it's attached, and she was holding on to the weight that was keeping it down. She was holding on. And in this image, her head is tilted back, full of joy towards the sky, and she loosed the weights. And she was starting to lift up, because that is what God wants to do right now, and what he has started to do already. Because he was ministering, whether it was weird for you that people are singing, and whether you clearly just felt the Lord, either way, God loves you, and his heart is for you to walk in, guess what? What he has paid for. So we are not here to beg God or twist his arm. We are here to say, Lord, I let loose. I loose. I let loose of my opinions, the weight, the sin, distraction, fears, dreams, whatever it is. God is here and he is wanting to unblock that which is blocked, so that him, himself, his living waters will rush over you and also come and minister through you. That is his heart for you already. He loves you dearly. You were his plan. He thought you out, and then he made you, and then he paid for you to be completely reconciled to the Father and be completely reconciled to living waters, to come and minister to you, so that he, with his his living waters, can minister through you. So I want us just to, I'm going to read from the ESV. If you'd like, you can turn to John 4 in your Bible. But if you'd like to close your eyes and listen, you are also welcome. So I'll just give a moment for those who'd like to go to ESV, ESV if you have it. But it's John 4 from verse 1. And whether you're going to listen now or read from your Bible, I want to ask you to apply your heart right now, to apply your spirit, your mind, towards engaging with his word. Because there's a spiritual battle going on, hoping that as soon as the scripture starts to be declared, that your mind will wander to the to-do list of this week, or will wander to the to-do list that didn't get to-do'd the past week. So I'm asking you to apply your spirit and your heart, because God's word is life and wants to bring forth life in you, and then also through you to the people around you. So now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with." Even this woman had to apply her faith and her spirit. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, and Jesus is saying right now in this moment to you and me, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty and have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband." So he proceeds to tell this woman who is in sin. He basically calls her on a sin. So this woman is by faith responding to the invitation of eternal water that comes from here, that we receive it here in our spirit, in our heart from the Lord. And from here, it will spring forth into our families, our business, the person at the till when we pay for bread or milk. So Jesus is asking this woman if she would like that. He's inviting her to it. And she, just like you and I, that she has to, by faith, engage in the conversation, like, "But what do you mean?" And then he responds, because with faith, she's asking questions. If she had no faith and she thought he was crazy, she'd leave or not speak to him. But she was engaging him with him, asking questions, much like you and I, with questions we have in our heart. How do I connect with the Holy Spirit? How do I operate being led by him? How do I co-labor and co-partner with him? And his response to this woman who he loves, who he knows and wants to go to the cross for. What I mean with that is, in Hebrews it says, because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So he saw it as a joy that woman and you and I would have the option to have eternal water being received to us and going from us. So he loves this woman. She engages with faith and he answers to her sin. He points to her sin, because what is sin? It is what separates us from him. And God wants us reconciled. That is why he died. That is the blockage. That is the weight. He points it out, because if God does not open my eyes to what I need healing of, I cannot turn to him for the healing. God is a healer. It's who he is. God is a holy God. That's why Jesus died, so that we can have access to this holy God through the blood of Jesus. He wants us to have access. He wants you. He wants you to speak to him. He wants to speak to you. So now this holy God invites you and I, and every day and every season, every Sunday, every Monday morning, whenever, every time we get quiet, we ask, like, how do I engage with you, Lord? I know I'm here to thank you and praise you, because that says in Psalm 100, verse 4, that's how we enter into your presence. But what? What next? What more? Because imagine being married to somebody that comes into your presence, but they never share their heart with you. They never ask you your heart. But that is not the relationship that the Father invites us to. He invites us to the place where we lay it all bare and down before him, and where we in faith receive what he says over who we are and what he has called us for. But now how? How do we do that? So here's this illustration of this woman in John 4 that says to him, "Okay, tell me more," you know, and he responds and he speaks to her about her husband and says, "Go call your husband." And it turns out that he was just having a word of knowledge, having information that he couldn't know unless the Father showed him. And she responds, being touched by this king that loves her, that speaks the truth, and she runs, and she runs, and she starts. She is the first evangelist in the New Testament. She runs to the town after her sin was called out, but it was because of the holy love of the Father that wants to set her free, and she experienced and knew that. So she ran, and she told the people, and if you read the rest of John, I urge you, go read the rest of John. Many people came to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus, came to salvation because this is the truth of who Jesus is. They believed. And then later they asked him to stay, so he stayed there. And then the scripture says, later they said, we believed because we heard you, but now we've believed because we heard for ourselves. So God wants to bring living waters in you and me. He wants to restore and take away those weights that you and I, weight, sin, depression, self-centeredness, trauma, whatever the name is of that which is a weight that keeps you down from him. He paid for it, and he wants to help you and me by his grace to let it go so that you and I not only can receive the restoration that he has paid for, that we may run to our neighbor, to our colleague, to our friend and say, can I tell you what Jesus has done? So that they can come to the faith of this Jesus is real. And then from that place of you and I sharing a testimony and them seeing the fruit of our lives and hearing the fruit coming through verbal words, we need to speak the gospel and when necessary make an altar call at all times in Jesus' name, because it says in Romans, how will people respond to a gospel that they will not hear? So God wants to bring about a testimony in your life, not for your glory, like Chris was sharing earlier. Are we pursuing God to have a glorious life, or are we pursuing him so that we can have a life that displays his glory and invites others in and said, what he did for me, he wants to do it for you, paid for you already, but you've got freedom of choice. What will you receive? So just like through this woman, her testimony, they came to believe, and then it says in John 4, but now we believe because we heard him himself. God wants to make people hungry for him and his love for them, his life that he wants to bring in them through you and my testimony and words and our life and our love towards them. And later that they will be able to tell other people, yeah, I got hungry because of what I saw, but now I've seen it for myself. It's real. Like God wants to do it again. That's why it's here. Okay, so now it's cool. We know that this is what God wants to do, but how? How do we let go of these weights? So I'm quickly going to go to Hebrews 12, if you want to read with me. It's Hebrews 12, if you'd like to just listen. If you focus easier, if you just listen, you're so welcome to just listen. Hebrews 12, for those who want to go. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin, which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. Other translations say the author, the one who started and will bring to completion our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted in your struggle against sin. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? So it goes on in where it starts explaining that discipline, when God disciplines us, it's because we are legitimately his. When there is a neighbor or a friend's child that is super naughty, do you respond exactly the same as you would if it is your child? No. But when it is your child, you are bent on having them walking in the uprightness and the glory and the beauty that God is for them. That is your desire of your heart. God's desire is that you and I would walk in what he has predestined us for. Good works for the glory of his name. God is rooting for you. He has paid for you and I. But now, right now, in this moment, in this service, later tonight when you're alone, tomorrow sitting on a bus or a train or a plane on your car or just walking somewhere, all the time, we've got an opportunity to commune with the Holy Spirit, to ask him, what does this look like for today? What does it look like now for me to walk in what you have paid for me, what you are rooting for me to walk in? So it so clearly speaks of the sin and the weight, that who should lay the weights down? Your pastor? Is it your small group leader? Your husband, your spouse, your friend? Who should lay your weights down? Is it the Lord? Is it the enemy? Guess what? The enemy cannot force you to hold on to the weight and the sin that brings you down. He's been overcome at the cross. And God is not going to hold us back. He's the one that has paid for and that has created us for freedom and liberty, and that's cheering us on with such a great cloud of witnesses, it says. But it says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin. So you and I, all the time, we need the Holy Spirit to show us what are the weights. We need the Holy Spirit to show us what are the sin. What are the sins? What is the sin that is holding me down? Because if I look to my friends and not to the Word, I'm in deep trouble, eternal trouble. When I look to my culture, if I want to decide what's okay and not okay, I'm in deep trouble, eternal trouble. When I look to what the average South African says is okay or not okay, when I look to my parents, my friend, whatever, guys, the Word of God is life, and that is where we look to. We look to Jesus so that we can see and know what is it I let go of so I can receive eternal living waters, because He's so ready and wanting to bring it, but He will not force you. If I want to choose fear, I can walk in it for the rest of my life and feel very dignified about it. I can twist why I believe to live in fear into why I'm wise. I can do all things through Scripture taken out of context and then say, I'm not that cute, that somebody else's phrase that they coined it. But what I'm saying is we need the Word of God to interpret the Word of God. We cannot look to our opinions or our culture. We need the Word of God to interpret the Word of God. We need to look to the Spirit of God for peace upon what He is saying. So I want to... We're almost going to start with a ministry. We're almost going to start laying down what the Holy Spirit's going to show us now. So sometimes when we are going through a time that is more tough than other times, so it could be discipline, it could be a desert season, because God is preparing us for something. I mean, if Jesus had to go through a desert season, 40 days, 40 nights, with the enemy coming to... distract and attack and to try to get him to compromise. Who are we to say, no, but I'd like to skip that, Lord. That's beneath me. No. No. If King Jesus learned obedience through the things which he suffered, that's what the Word says. What a privilege if we can die to our flesh and ourself and our dreams and our opinions of glory through those tough times, because it's God's glory that loves and that draws us to the place of holiness. So I want to quickly just say on that note that the verse 3, it says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So sometimes you and I will be in a tough time, and what we will be considering is how my breakthrough must look, when it must come, and how it must come. I've done that a lot. Lord, you must now do this, and you must do it then, and you can do it in this way. But God says, when there's a tough time, when you're being disciplined or you're in the desert because God is preparing you, consider Jesus. Looking onto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. He started that faith in you. He wants to bring it to completion. But you and I need to remind ourselves, who will we look to? Who will we look to? Do I look to social media, to my friend, to my church culture? Or do I look to Jesus, which is the Word? He wants to encourage you. But what will you choose? If I want to turn to food or pornography or friends, whatever I want to choose and to turn to instead of turning to Him for encouragement, I can. But God doesn't want me to, but He doesn't take my freedom of choice away. I can choose that, or I can run to Him. And the last scripture before we start practically loosing those weights, thank you, Jesus. It says, so it's... Again, in Hebrews 12, I'm just going from verse 12. It says, therefore, lift your drooping hand. So it's that first part that we just read about. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let loose those weights and those snares that hold us back so we can run this race with endurance, looking to Jesus, that author and the finish of our faith. And then there's a whole part just speaking about God disciplines those who are His because He loves you, because you're legitimately His. And then it goes over and it says, therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. And make straight the paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. The part of your body, the part of your life, or that part of your heart that's not producing fruit, that is lame, God says He wants to heal it. He doesn't want it dislocated and to be taken away. He wants to bring redemption and healing and life in that area, in the place of fear, in the place of disappointment, in the place of sin, in the place of hopelessness, in the place of despair, in the place of living for your glory. God wants to set you free and bring life in those areas. What do you want? Because you and I get to choose. What do we want? I have to say we, because the word is as much for me as it is for you. And make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Verse 14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. It's not cool to speak about holiness. It's cool to speak about grace and breakthrough. But the word says, when we're in tough times, let us consider Jesus and what He has done for us. I'm not saying you can't ask Him for the breakthrough. Hallelujah. I'm not saying you can't share your heart with regards to your desire for your timeline of when you'd like what. What I'm saying is, let us come to this holy God, submitting everything that's in our heart to Him. Sharing it, but to that place of surrender. And not telling, I will tell you verses, I want to share this with you. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. So God is calling us to holiness, which translates to wholeness. In this world, when we see people walking in holiness, if you're not familiar with the terms from the Bible, and you ask somebody whether you think that person is a whole person, if they walk in wholeness, people that walk in holiness, I'm telling you, people will go, yes, there's something there. There's an absence of lack because of... It's not that we give up what we are dreaming and contending for. It's just we are consumed with thankfulness while we are dreaming, believing, and contending for what is to come. And that thankfulness brings us into His presence where there's fullness of joy, where you do not lack joy, where you do not lack hope. So God is not asking who wants to be perfect. He's saying who wants to be surrendered, loosing those weights so that we can fly, so that we can run and soar up with the ones that have the eagle's wings. He's inviting you and I to that. What is our response tonight? So if I can ask... I'm just not in between, like the Lord was so ministering powerfully through the violin earlier, but I think we're going to start with the guitar. So Peter, if you can come up, please. What we're going to do now, it's super exciting. We talked about it and now we're going to do it. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit. So maybe while we were sharing now, things popped up into your heart, like maybe a fear of lack or a fear of, because of the inflation climbing, how your finances or provision will work out in the future. Maybe a fear of being lonely for the rest of your life. Maybe a fear of your spouse never catching a fire for Jesus. Maybe it's rejection. Maybe it's maybe it's lust that you are struggling with and you've got so much shame, you really struggle to bring it to the light. Whatever it is, maybe you run to your godly friends first, before you run to Him, then that's an idol. It's okay that we run to the family and the body of God. It's his body. But if I always run to the people of the Lord first, that means I run to the Lord of the people second. So whatever it is the Lord has been showing you, that is something that if you want, you can let loose tonight. You can say, I'm letting that down. But you can just close your eyes. And we can just pray and we say, Holy Spirit, thank you that you've started showing us that which you want to loose us from because you love us, because you have called us to run this race, Lord, in our different times and different places. Our lives are so different from each other, but Lord, thank you that you know exactly to whom and where you've called us. Lord, you know where we will be on Tuesday morning at 11. You know, and you've provided already. So thank you, Father, that you know everything and that you want us to be able to run, Lord, free, Lord. So Holy Spirit, right now, would you come and show us any place where we've started to bow by accident, on purpose, to other idols? Lord, any sin, Lord, that ensnares us, Lord, any weight, Lord, any trauma that we maybe have. Maybe you, there was trauma that happened to you as a teenager and you're over it because you know the world like says, yo, just be over it, get over it. But maybe you just didn't receive counseling or just deliverance or healing from that trauma. Then the Lord's going to remind you of it right now. He's going to highlight it. Anything, Holy Spirit, that you want to show us that keeps us back, Holy Spirit, would you show us now? Thank you, Jesus. Maybe it's obvious. Maybe it's something that is popping up into your mind's eye right now from long ago. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You do hear his voice. So bitterness separates. This bitterness is a blockage. Unforgiveness is a blockage. The Lord says we cannot, you can just keep your eyes closed. The Lord says we cannot receive his forgiveness if we do not extend and walk in that forgiveness. So the Holy Spirit, we ask you, would you come and show us, are there any people we need to forgive? Maybe there's people, Lord, we need to forgive again, that we've forgiven, but sometimes when something has happened towards you quite a few times or a few years, sometimes that forgiveness is like an onion. It happens in layers. You forgive and you declare blessing over that person. You bless and release them in Jesus' name. But the next time you think of them, it like pops up again. Then you do it again. Don't listen to the thought that goes, well, you don't have to. Or, oh, it's never going to stop. You just keep on going layer after layer till there's nothing left. Till when you think of them, you start praying blessing and life and healing over them. So just there where you ask, oh, ask him, Holy Spirit, anybody that I need to forgive. Lord, anything I need to repent of, thank you that you show me now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Even me, Lord, show us, Lord. Show me, Jesus. Yeah, you want to set free, Lord.
So faithful, you're so faithful, Lord.
What we're going to do now is we're going to turn to somebody that we came with or that we are comfortable with, and we are just going to pray for one another because God has made us to, in community, walk this road with him. So in James it says, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. Hallelujah. So if you're super uncomfortable with that, that's okay. You can sit on your own and talk with him also. But I do invite you, would you just now turn in groups of two? It can be max three just for time constraints. If there are leaders that just want to, you know, keep an eye out for some people that might be, you know, on their own. So you can turn two by two, spouses together or men and men together, women and women together. And just, gosh, you don't have to share long stories. You can just say, you know what I believe is holding me back so that I struggle to run the race is this thing, and I want to repent of it. And I want to also repent of unforgiveness and forgive those people. And then you just start praying that to the Lord, saying, Lord, forgive me for running to this or to that. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah, so And then the other person, you just speak God's love and blessing over that person after they have shared. Okay, cool. You can break up in groups of two or three. And then, like we said, you're just sharing those one or two things. Guys with guys, girls with girls, unless you, husband and wife, you go together. That's perfect. And as you confess it, you also go, thank you, Jesus. I receive the loosening of the weight now in Jesus' name. I receive your forgiveness. Declare it with your mouth. If you're done praying, you can please stand because we just want to sing and play a song of His freedom and His healing over you. So if you're done praying, if you could please stand. Siyela asseblief kan staan. If you want, you can just open up your hands just as a symbol to say, Lord, I receive what you declare over me. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, you'll break every chain, you break every bondage. Your blood has set us free. Jesus, you break every chain, you break every bondage. Your blood has set us free. Jesus, you break every chain, you break every bondage. Your blood has set us free. Jesus, you break every chain, you break every bondage. Your blood has set us free. Jesus, you break every chain, you break every bondage. Your blood has set us free.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, God, for freedom and for hope and for joy that you bring restoration, Lord. You bring wholeness. Thank you, Jesus. Your blood has washed completely clean, whiter than snow, whiter than snow. Thank you for hearts that are washed whiter than snow because of your blood. And we praise you, Jesus. Don't you just want to praise Jesus and just say, thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you for what you do. Like, just say to him, donkey, so say for him, thank you, Jesus. You're so good. You're so kind. I just receive your mighty work. Oh, Lord, all we can say is thank you. You did it all. All we can do is say thank you. You did it all. Thank you, Lord, for freedom, for wholeness, for freedom from fear, freedom from rejection. Thank you, Lord, that there will be one fear that we will know, and that is the fear of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You're so good. You're so kind. Thank you that nothing is a surprise to you, Lord, that we are so safe with you, Lord. Thank you that we have been born for such a time as this, called for such a time as this. And Lord, we only need to look to you and obey and follow. You are our guider, our protector, our Father, the Holy One that is the Alpha, the Omega, and everything in between. You know it all. You are God and King. And we surrender all to you. And we just receive, Lord, beauty in the place of ashes. Just say to him, thank you, Jesus, for beauty in the place of ashes. I receive it by faith. What a gift. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.